We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a Sunday Things I Think I Know About the Cleveland Browns podcast. It's myself, OBR Film Breakdown. It's Brad Ward, All Eyes on Cleveland. Obviously, both of us under that OBR film. No, we're not both under the OBR film. We're just both under the umbrella of the OBR parent company. We've got to get our branding right, Brad. So we are back with another edition. Now, I have to go away this weekend, so we're recording this on Friday night. So we're a little premature with what Brad might ultimately write, but we do have some things that we think we know that we're willing to talk about at this point. And again, it's fluid. Things could happen late night tonight. Hell, Devin Bush signed with Seattle at like 1 a.m. That came out. So yes, you never know when these things are going to drop. Obviously Saturday or Sunday before you get to this pod, some of the spots here that we're going to talk about could be solved. So if that's the case, we're still going to release this podcast, but it would be kind of awkward. So we'll hope that the status quo remains the same until Sunday morning or so at that point. But both of us are going to be talking about positions still needing addressed with your Cleveland Browns. So it should be some interesting taste here. Brad, go ahead and first, man, let me know how your day's going. Everything on your end good, brother?
Yeah, we're good. You know, I mean, free agency has been, I mean, for the most part, good. Like, you know, we're going to talk about some positions, right, that we feel like need addressed. But, I mean, it's hard, Jake. Like, they have done a good job, but to me, that still feels like there's a lot of work to do. Like, it's hard. Like, even Dalvin Tomlinson, like, I know this isn't even going to be my topic, but, like, if he gets hurt, it feels like you're right back at where you were last year a little bit. I don't think that Alex Wright should be edge number three. Like, I think he needs to be edge number four. So there's another thing they need to address. Like, these are all, it's all fluid, right? But, like, doesn't feel like they're close to being done, and they've done a lot. So it's tough, right?
It is tough. There's still a lot to figure out here. Now, obviously, the caveat is you get the draft. You got a lot of stuff here that can change some of that, right? I mean, Alex Wright went into last year as the third edge or whatever, coming off, like, we didn't know what edge role he would be. The fourth guy, would he be the third guy? They had Winovich. Injuries happen. There's a lot of unknown, but, you know, when you sit here in our spot talking about this team, you just tend to look at it from the perspective of what do they need to fix, right? Like,
yeah,
it's just you're always kind of looking at it from that angle, in my opinion. So when that is the case, more often than not, you're going to pinpoint or poke holes in the roster while fully understanding as well that no team is ever complete. Like, you're going to have some holes on your yes. roster. That is inevitable. But you're obviously, at the same token, trying to eliminate as many of those roster holes as you possibly can. So we're going to poke at a couple positions, but if you've paid attention to what Brad and I have said many times over, it is, you know, it's fluid. A lot of things can happen quickly. And, you know, we fully understand that the Browns are probably looking to address a lot of the things we're talking about, but there are still some key talking points. So I'll let you hit leadoff, Brad, and talk about what you think they need to fix still.
Yeah, so, you know, sense of urgency is at an all-time high for me this year. Like, worst-case scenario, Jake, would be, like, they have to go fire Stefanski and hire another coach. Like, I don't trust them to hire a better coach. We've talked about this, right? Like, so, you know, self-preservation, all of that stuff goes into this. But, like, I don't think that they can... Like, so Paris Campbell signed a one-year, $3 million deal yesterday or the day before, and that irked me because that feels like a risk-free kind of shot, right? What's $3 million on a one-year deal? Nothing. And I don't think that the Browns can leave free agency or the trade market without addressing wide receiver and just go draft, even if it's at 42, even if they don't trade back and they go 42 and they get their best wide receiver, and even if it's like Downs, right, who's a polished guy and I think can help right away, I still think they need another professional receiver before that, or another guy on this roster, like, because I don't know what, like, I'm not giving up on David Bell, but I can't bank on a breakout year from him. Like, that, if I'm Stefanski and Barry, I can't bank on that. I'm hoping for it, right? That'd be great. But I can't bank on that. And if we're looking at an uptick, and we talked about, like, targets for the third receiver being worth it, I think they're going to have 60, 70 targets for their third receiver. So you better have a good one, right? Or somebody that can do it. So like there's Hardman, there's the Judy talks, which are kind of simmering down. There's Shark. Isaiah McKenzie was released from the Bills today. He's intriguing. He's a, you know, coming off a 400 yard season, his best season ever, 4 touchdowns. He got 62, targets, 42 receptions. I mean, even something like that on a 1 year deal seems to make a lot of sense. But I think they need to do something, Jake, besides just draft somebody.
I see where you're coming from. I certainly see both sides of it. I'm interested to see what decision they make, because to me it's like, okay, if you do bring in a third guy, I'm with you on the fact that, like, you're always concerned about losing people to injury, right? It's never going to really leave for anybody, in my opinion,
right?
Because you're just always like the pessimistic view of your team is hard to ignore. But to me, you also have to consider that, what if everyone's healthy and what are you doing with certain people? So I don't want to force myself. My continued thought about the draft is I really don't want to force myself into players due to positional need. And I'm going to talk about that with mine in just a little bit, but like, it kind of pertains to this one as well, in my opinion, because what you're trying to do is solve a position in a way that if the right player is there, you can take him. But if you have a player who's higher up at a different position, you're not forcing yourself to select that player, right? Because what you don't want to do is make a decision based on need in the draft. Like, you do to an extent, you don't want to overflow positions and things of that nature, but you know, if it comes down to an edge or a wide receiver, you don't want to have a higher graded edge than the wide receiver, but you feel like, well, we have to take that wide receiver. So I think that a cheaper wide receiver would help. But again, that comes down to, Brad, how they feel about the guys they have in house. Because if they believe in David Bell and there was some tangible data that supports that he was finding himself open this year, if you believe in David Bell and you believe in your top two, and then the other wild card here is some of these others. How much do they believe in Jakeem Grant in a pinch? How much do they believe in Mike Woods? I saw some stuff from Mike Woods I liked. Unfortunately, too injured to get a comprehensive feel, but there were things from him that I liked. So if there are those things that they like, it starts to become, okay, if you go out and add somebody on the cheaper side, it does get crowded. And where are you gonna play that player? Now, if they go sign Mecole Hardman, someone of that nature, like, that player's going to find time. Like, he's going to play. I'm all about getting better players on the field, and you can displace people, but the sake of just getting a guy to get a guy, I would hope that there's some level of, we believe this is a better football player, and we're willing to accept that maybe David Bell isn't going to get snaps, right? Or whoever else. I think it's just like I'm into the idea of a wide receiver. You know, at the time, Campbell, I could be into these guys, cheaper prices, and you just talked about the cheaper price of Campbell and all that came with that. You know, if Chark's a cheaper price or whatever, like I can get down with it. But to me, I don't know how they feel about in-house, and I also don't find myself as worried about that group as I am about some others, one of which we'll talk about. So yeah. I'm fine with getting a receiver. It's just how they feel in-house. This one to me feels like more than anything else, they're going to tell us how much they like their guys. Like they're just going to tell us that by the decisions that they make here.
I guess I'm at the health last year, you mentioned it, and I didn't even really get into it, but like the health last year was extremely lucky at wide receiver. Like they got by, mm-hmm. like we felt going into the season, I think it was pretty consensus that like they don't have enough guys there, right? And they got by basically with Cooper and DPJ. Because they never got dinged. But you're not going to get that probably 2 years in a row. And so, like, does David Bell – like, I really like David Bell, but, like, he's not going to stretch the field. He's not, like, a dynamic – he's like a possession receiver, right? I just think, like, they need a different kind of receiver. And maybe you can get that in the draft – but to your point, like, I don't think you want to pigeonhole yourself. I do think you need to continue to address it in the draft because of positional value. And I know we're going to talk about that in a minute probably. But, like, just wide receiver is so tough right now. And they found themselves here, strangely, in the second day because this wide receiver free agency class is so poor that the market has really softened, like, no Paris Campbell at $3 million that, you know, yeah. I would have told
very
you
little crazy. Movement.
Very little
very
movement.
Very little movement. Again, as we sit here on Friday night, so that could change, right? We had OBJ today talking about how he's fine wine that people want to pay a box wine price for and all these things.
He wants 15 to 20 and he's dreaming. So,
Brett, man, what are you talking about? Yes. You're not finishing seasons. You're part of constant drama. Like, you got to. Someone's got to give you some perspective, my friend, because this is not – it's not happening. But anyway, that market needs to move at some point soon.
It does. And I was vocal. I don't want – just for the record, I don't want OBJ back. I've seen that movie. I just – you know, I don't think – I worry about his health, and I worry about the drama that he brings. Like, he's just not – I know they say he's a great teammate and all that, but I can't stand the body language, Jake, like the body language, even if he's not vocally doing it, like the body language and he's not getting touches or they're losing or whatever, it's infectious. And I don't want that any part of this locker room.
Yeah. I'm not even considering, I mean, it's cool. They've kept tabs and all that stuff, but I don't see it happening. But to your general point, I'm good with either way. Okay. I truly am. I understand the desire for another wide receiver, and if they do go get one, I'm all about getting weapons. So I'm not going to be mad if they go sign Mecole Hardman, right? You can use Mecole Hardman. You can use DJ Chark. You can find ways. But again, that's them saying, okay, we're comfortable with displacing David Bell, not giving Mike Woods chance to develop. And again, that's how it goes. Guys like Mike Woods have to, you know, get their chance through injury issues or special teams ace guy who comes along. Like, nothing should be handed to you in the NFL, right? Like, you should have to earn those jobs.
Here's the difference with that this year. Like, I totally understand that. Like, I want to give young guys an opportunity, but they have to win this year. So if you can eliminate the chance that you fail by some degree, then you need to do it this year. Like, this is preservation of Stefanski's job. This is a massive season. There's no room for error. Like, so leaving it, like, I am all for in a normal season, like, I want to see what Mike Woods has. I'm intrigued by him, too. I think David Bell can be a good player. But, like, this year, I would be all about signing a one-year deal to one of these guys just to make sure that you have a professional receiver out there that can take, like, McKenzie, maybe, that can get 60 targets, make 40 catches, score 4 touchdowns. Because I don't know David Bell can do that. So...
yeah, we don't have evidence. We don't have much evidence of it now.
And if
what
that
all looks like in a new offense. Go ahead.
And if they don't, Jake, address it, then I do feel like they have to in the draft.
Yeah, it does force them to. I think they're going to take one no matter what, but the point is you don't want to have to take one at a certain spot, right? Like, that's the thing you're trying to avoid above all else, is feeling like we have to take one at 42, we have to take one at 98. That's the stuff you want to avoid, to me, anyway.
Personally, but I think that they, in a perfect world, they would sign one of these guys to a one-year deal. Like, I don't necessarily need like a three-year deal or anything. Like I don't want anybody to be long-term. I just kind of want like a rental, sort of like a one-year deal veteran, and then draft somebody too. I feel like they need to do both.
I, again, totally fine with that. I think that that is a fine way to go about it. I just, I'm curious how much they want to, I'm not as concerned. Yeah. I would rather like, okay, if you rank it in front of me, what would you rather have? A second stalwart type defensive tackle who can, you know, can play, not great, but you know, can play, or a, which what I'm going to talk about in a little bit, a Mike linebacker, spending that money there. Which would you prefer? I would prefer those others. Again, though, if they feel like they need wide receiver solved to the degree that you're talking about, which, again, is fair, then, you know, go out and solve it, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. You have the money, and there is clearly a open market here to make some of these things happen with these guys. So, like I said, go solve it, man. There's nothing wrong with that in my eyes if I can understand a little bit of where you're coming from, right? That's what you need to understand. Like, I need to know why you feel like, okay, if you feel that way, which is entirely possible because your roster's a little in flux there, then just I hope that we can get an idea of like, well, okay, well then what's the role for David Bell going to be? How are you going to continue to develop these guys? And to your point, which again, I think again is fair, they're in a win now crisis. So you don't want to leave yourself in a position where your depth is strung out. You're not able to figure it out and you can't overcome an injury or two, because that would cripple you. So I'm with it. Adding wide receiver talent is a need. It's a need. I just am curious how big of a need that is compared to some of the other decisions I still think they need to fix. So
to your point,
agreeing with that.
Yeah. To your point, like, I think that, and I know you're going to talk about another position, but I think that like edge, I think they need another edge. I think they need another defensive tackle too. So like, this isn't the only position. It's just one that, like, you know, I know they signed the tight end today and I think he's a good fit and everything, but like they've addressed a lot of defense and they still need to address more. It's just, on the offensive side, if they really are going to uptick and throw the ball more, then maybe you might want to add another weapon there. So that's all.
Yep. I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll come back from that break. We'll talk about mine, which is pretty similar. Not the same, but similar. We'll be right back.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
All right, so we've seen these guys spend some money, Brad. We've seen them obviously go out and get an edge, go out and get a safety, go out and get a defensive tackle. They haven't spent like crazy, but they have spent some money here, right? One-year deals, which we still need to see the guaranteed number here on Hurst and Tristan Hill to figure out what sort of faith they're putting in them. And then, as you know, guys listening to this by now, guys and ladies, whoever's listening to this, they went out and signed Jordan Akins today, a backup tight end type. A second or third tight end, depending on how they view Harrison Bryant. I don't know what they'll do with him. That's sort of up in the air. But they ended up spending like upwards of 5.2. It could get to that. We'll see if it actually does get to that number. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the maximum of the whole thing. So anyway, long story short, they should have some money to play with, but we're sort of going through all these positions, which is the exercise we're doing here, talking about wide receiver. We've both talked about liking not only getting a defensive tackle that can play, but one that could potentially get 500 snaps. That'd be nice, right? And then a backup edge can get you, you know, 300 or so snaps to fill that role. Those are a lot of players. And one that we continue to not really talk about, that they don't have anybody. And maybe we don't talk about this because they are just, people think they're just going to bring Anthony Walker back. I don't know. But Mike, linebacker is wildly important and especially important in a new defensive system. So I would prefer to have somebody there that has a pretty good feel for a defense. Not that you can't, you know, not just a defense, but being able to handle calling a defense, relaying communication, all of that. Now, again, Anthony Walker is a fine player and a guy who I would like to, you know, have no issue bringing back. I would like that. But some folks have talked about, because of the other things that they're going to be pursuing, that a veteran minimum type linebacker would be who you go after. And I'm left to think like, okay, that makes me nervous because Anthony Walker, who I consider to be a fine linebacker, Brad, but is not at the upper echelon of the group out there, he came back last year on about 4.25. So that's not vet men. You're talking about wanting to bring in a worse player than that, right? And okay, if you don't want to bring anybody in, then that means you're considering like Jacob Phillips or something like Reggie, like Ragland. Like, what are you?
That's absurd.
Where does that come? Yeah, like I don't see the fit there, and it's not to me a position. I don't want to pay linebackers a ton of money. I'm generally not into that unless you have one of those guys, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't skimp out altogether on this because, again, it to me is a position of relative importance. You know, it's a guy that does a lot of things mentally and physically for your team. So I think just chalking that one up to we'll get a cheap nothing player is a dangerous proposition to me. So listen, I'm into not spending a ton of money at linebacker, and really there's not many to spend the money on. Like I mentioned earlier, Devin Bush was a guy I was kind of into, mm-hmm. As one of those development type guys. You could come in and try to reestablish his career, but he's already signed. So I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. There are some cheap types out there, but man, just like going into this season saying, we'll get a cheap one, it makes me pretty uneasy, at least in my opinion. So I'm into the idea of figuring this out. That could mean some sort of trade. It could mean maybe, again, bringing back Walker is enough. That solves it. I don't know. I don't know where they're at. There's not really been much outward connection. I'm not sure. But there are two names that I'm pretty interested in the coming draft, right? You know, and I'm just going to say it. Studying tape, I'm interested in both of these guys at 42, if they're there, right? Trenton Simpson, Clemson, unbelievable testing. The tape is pretty good. I don't think he's as mentally good as the other one that I would really, really be into at 42, which is Jack Campbell from Iowa. I would be into either of those guys if they're sitting there at 42. And listen, I know that some people will say, well, you know, they don't want to take linebackers that early, blah, blah, blah. Well, they took JOK, so they're clearly willing to go spend on a linebacker at that spot if they really like him. And man, like to me, Simpson and JOK, or my first preference, Jack Campbell, That's a deadly linebacker pairing. And you would have young, affordable contracts at that position to then continue to spend a bit more on other positions. So I'm, again, best player available. I'm not trying to hunt down the need here. I would like them to have that solved so they don't have a need at that spot. But those are the two backers. Jack Campbell is number one for me by a healthy margin. But Simpson I would also be into at 42 as well. So that's a route I'm willing to go. I do not want to start, and again, I don't even know who some of the names are, like Rashawn Evans, right? Like some of those types. I don't want to start those guys as the Mike backer. So okay. I just think we're overlooking from a position of need, Brad, this linebacker spot as one that they really – this guy's going to play. Like Mike linebackers don't leave the field a ton. It's like a – it's an 800-snap or more position at times. So I'm just a little uneasy about that, and there's sort of a big – giant helping of shrug your shoulders about it, and I'm like, I don't think we should be doing that here. So yeah, that's what I'm at.
So I was gonna ask you about these guys. So there's Bobby Wagner, probably unlikely, right?
I don't know why it would be unlikely though, Brad. He could. I mean, does he want to win? The Browns are in a win now mode with a lot of talent. Okay. So it's a matter of like that. The same question comes with Calais Campbell. What do those guys want? They've been around so long. They're you know, Bobby's a Hall of Famer. Calais is maybe a Hall of Famer. Close to it. Are they going to play for $5 million? Probably not. They want probably like $10 million to play a year. So that's the question. What do they want to play? Now, that's an all-in push, though, Brad. Like, if you go get Bobby Wagner for a year, who proved he could play last year, you're all in, man. Like, that is the sign of an all-in move. I'm sure you would agree with me on that.
I do. You mentioned Rashawn Evans. You're not into that. The only reason I'm like, okay, is because he has played with Schwartz before. And there's a link there, but you're right. He isn't. I don't think he's as good as Anthony Walker. You know, I don't know anything about Nicholas Morrow. He seems like a real cheap guy that they got linked to early. But the other guy that's also a $4 million a year guy or projected that way that could fill that role is Denzel Perriman. Would you have a problem with that?
No, he's a tackle machine with the Raiders. I have no problem. I was also interested in. The Chargers cat, Drew Tranquil. I was interested in him too, but I just haven't heard the Browns connected to any of these guys. So like, I'm kind of at the situation right now where I am. I'm like, what's going on here? What, like, there's just been zero traction on a position that I know you don't want. They're the linebackers or the running back of the defense in terms of contract perception. It doesn't miss me. I understand that, but I also just don't want to like pack in a player that is going to be on the field for a ton of snaps. Like, he's going to play, and he's going to play an important role where he's the vocal leader of your defense normally. Now, they could go a different direction. Thornhill or Delpit could be the relay of stuff. Like, that could happen. But, you know, again, that linebacker role is important, and I just don't think it can be overlooked and brushed away like it's nothing. So if they do get to 42 and they really love Campbell or they really love Simpson, two athletic testing freaks who Campbell, again, like, I don't even know if Campbell makes it out of the first round, Brad. I really don't. I think he's special. I think he's really special. So if he's there at 42, I mean, I could not be any more emphatic about, like, dude, take that guy. Solve Mike linebacker for the next 5 years, perhaps longer. The guy's just, he's just a worker, grinder. And, like, I continue to think, you know, some of these teams in the division, Baltimore, now they let go of Roquan. I guess, isn't Patrick Queen a free agent? I didn't even think about that. Is he a free agent? I actually don't know if he's a free agent. I haven't heard any talk about him.
He's not on my list, but
he might not be. He might not be. But, like, it seems like teams in the division, Steelers have drafted these backers, and I know the draft didn't work out with Devin Bush, but teams are emphasizing this position, and I just wouldn't mind having, if you're not going to invest a ton in defensive tackles all the time, like having two rip-roaring SOBs at linebacker for a while here who can really range are fun. And again, like, teams like the Chiefs have invested in linebacker, right? Like, they've invested in backers. Cincinnati has invested in linebackers. Teams that are winning football games, the Bills, have invested at linebacker. It is a spot that teams invest in and like to have young, cheap deals. So I'm just very, very interested and more than interested, like, hungry for one of them if they're there at 42, put it that way.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's certainly intriguing, right? It's just like, here's where I the only thing I push back on, and when it's going to be what anybody would say about taking linebacker with, like, the Browns don't have a first-round pick for a couple of years, and you're at 42, and they may trade back or whatever, or maybe at 42 you want one of these guys. It's just like the positional value at the end of the 4 years, right? Like, so you get and maybe Campbell is like a Hall of Famer, right? If you think he's that special, then it's worth it, right? But like right now, like if JOK, if you had to extend him right now, like he probably wouldn't get a very, very big deal. And he was a really good pick, right? And he's a good player. We think he's an ascending player. But like if you hit on a wide receiver there, you're talking about saving, you know, $60 million over the next 3 years as compared to like 15 if you hit on linebacker.
Yeah, I'm with it. It's the thing for me, though, is it's pick 42. It's not a top 15 pick where if you were to take – like the Devin Bush trade was unbelievable. They moved into like pick 10 to get him. And I'm like, yeah, if it's a pick right there, I do think he has to be – to get value out of that, he has to be – you know, I don't know if he needs to be a Hall of Famer, but he needs to be a multi-time all-pro player, you know, like – really, really damn good. But again, I think a thing that we're doing a little bit of, and I have to check myself at times with this, is thinking that our pick 42 is our first round pick, when really it's not. It's the 42nd pick.
It's not.
It's not. So you can't, if you look at it as we have to hit these certain thresholds, I think that's where it can get a little slippery, because this is my opinion. If you try to like treat it like an early pick with early value, that's where you can like ignore some spots where the value is right, and you can just like sort of miss out on like, we have to get, I understand the first round, you got to get edge, tackle, wide receiver, quarterback, it's very limited, corner, I'm all about those things in the first round. But in the second round, you're talking about the 42nd most talented slot in the draft. So I'm at that point just looking in the same way I was back with the JOK pick. Who's the most talented player here, right? Now, again, if there's, say, Josh Downs is there at 42, or lately I've been doing these mocks, and I even posted about it the other day. I'm sure you saw it, Brad. But there are some really good edge players there, like the BJ Ojulari was there. Felix Anudike Uzomah is there. Those guys, I'm fine with them taking. They're a very talented guy. Now, we'll see what it actually shakes out to look like. Like, I did one today. Pro Football Network Simulator is just all over the map. It's the one that is the worst right now. No offense to them, but it's really bad.
Yeah.
Like, they had Zay Flowers there at 42. There are a lot of guys
that
I would be pretty interested in at 42, and I'm not trying to, like, lock the Browns into taking a backer there, but if you're at 42 and Jack Campbell is there, like, he is the top 15 talent in this draft. Like, I think he's a top 15 to 20 type of talent in this draft. And I've shared it lately with Corey Kinnon when we talk about draft stuff, and Corey's not shy about some of the love he has for him too. Like, he's an impressive player. So now if the Steelers, like, somebody responded to me, a Steelers writer today, and they're like, Jake, we're taking him, and they're taking him at the top of the second round. You start to move forward with it, Brad. I think it does get a little dicey.
Mm-hmm.
But at 42, you don't have a pick of the litter of the spots that you normally would. So I am all about taking value. If you can get the right wide receiver, if you can get the right whatever, edge, corner, not corner in this draft, but I think you know what I'm saying. I'm all about the positional value, but also kind of trying to keep an eye on, you just need good players too. And I think that when it gets to 42, some things can slip through the cracks, which is to me what happened with JOK, where I again believe if he stayed healthy last year, he would have, you know, he would have been just fine in terms of coming on in his second year and all that stuff. So
yeah.
I believe he's still a really good player, and he's destined to show
it here
before we know it. But I mean, pairing him with somebody like Campbell or Simpson is not going to be something that I'm like, that's a disaster. So I'm willing and able to be like, talk like I would like that draft for them, but I would love to have it solved before the draft, Brad. I would like them to go re-sign Anthony Walker or spend a little bit on Perriman and have that position taken care of, so that you're not feeling like, oh, we have to take Campbell here. Even though we love Josh Downs, well, we got to solve Mike back. We have no other choice. Let's take him here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's weird that the Walker thing just hasn't already taken place. Like, there's,
I just haven't heard
interest,
enough about
like,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't heard anything.
Players have spoken out, like, we want our leader back. I forget who said that or whatever.
That has been the nice thing to see, that they've been vocal about that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And, like, just bring him back. I mean, come on. I don't understand what the holdup is here. Like, so he was playing great, right? And so I don't
know how he's doing on the quad tear recovery.
That's the question, right? Yeah. And then, yeah, so I get it totally. And I understand what you're saying. Like, so if you do value him and look at like Jack Campbell as like maybe like somebody, a lot of people have first round grades on him and you can get him at 42, then that makes a ton of sense. But like,
and I think that's the reason the only reason the Browns drafted JOK, if I'm
right.
honest, Brad.
Right.
If he was the 45th player on their board or whatever the number he was selected at, I don't think they would have taken him. But I think they had a first round grade. Like, talked about
agreed.
It. Like, if we didn't take Newsom here, we're going to take
They're
him.
Gonna
so
take JOK.
I think it would have to be a similar vibe, right?
Yep.
A similar vibe there. And that would come together, but I don't know how they value him. I would love to see maybe some smoke about them liking him in the pre-draft or something to start really feeling like that's serious. But when you get to 42, and it's so weird where, you know, you're picking there and you obviously want to do the first round types of spots. You're
mm-hmm.
all in, I'm all in on that, but you also understand, hey, you know, would we rather take the 15th best, or 15th's a little loose there, 8th best edge, or the best linebacker we have with the high grade? Like,
yeah,
that's where it gets dicey. So I just am saying, as I sit here right now, I think I feel pretty comfortable in being the take being I would be very happy with either Simpson or Jack Campbell if they went that route at 42 or slid back. But I don't think Campbell's there. And Simpson tested so well, I don't think he's there either. At 42, sliding back at 42, there's an outside shot. Sliding back, I don't see any shot at all.
Listen,
so that's where I'm at.
I can be talked into it. Like
I don't
want to
trade up, though. I don't want a JOK trade
no.
up. Put it that way.
Yeah.
So,
I can be talked into it. You know, I think in a perfect world, I would rather just, if Walker's healthy, re-sign him, and then, you know, mm-hmm. but I get where you're coming from. Like, if he's a special player and they feel like that they can lock that down for a long time and he's going to be like an all pro, and then you have him and JOK, like, that's fantastic. I can envision that and see them envisioning that. So I can get behind it. I guess my dream scenario is like Downs at 42, right? Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's like,
I don't like the Drew Sanders kid out of Arkansas. A lot of people like him a lot. I'm not in on that one, but
okay.
There's really a bunch of Will linebackers in this draft. Like Dorian Williams types, which would duplicate over JOK, but there's like three Mike backers here that could matter. And I'm very into Campbell there at that spot, but again, I'm not forcing it. I'm not like, oh, Campbell's there at 38, got to move up. If he lands in your lap, I'm interested.
Take him.
I'm not
yeah.
JOK moving up for that, right?
So, interesting. You'll see how plays out. Both scenarios that we talked about will be intriguing for sure.
For sure. All right, Brad, anything else we think we know before we get out of here?
I know nothing.
We know nothing. Remember
I
that,
think
folks.
I think I know nothing. No, I'm just
I think
kidding.
I think I know nothing. That's what we got on a Sunday. I don't know anything.
No.
We will see if any other moves happen. Sorry if we recorded this too early and stuff pops off, which would be, you know, which would be a good thing.
Actually, good.
Stuff
yeah.
were to happen, but you know, maybe this one catches you before they do any of that stuff, and it's still a worthwhile podcast for you to listen to. Thanks for being here today, listening to the OBR, supporting us. We continue to write a ton of stuff on these prospects. Brad doing a great job keeping everybody up to date on best free agents available. We wrote up all three angles from the big names they signed. We'll do the same. We'll do the same here with Jordan Akins too, where we're going to look at film, look at numbers in terms of their analytics profile, and then we look at their contract as well. So check all three of those layers out and become a VIP member. It's only $1 for your first month to see if it's worth your time. But with that, you get access to these articles. You get access to Ask the Insiders, among many other things. Great conversation points, all the above. So check it out. Join us, support us at the OBR as we work hard to give you the best Browns coverage out there. For Brad, for me, the OBR Film Breakdown and All Eyes on Cleveland. We appreciate you guys being here. Have a fantastic Sunday. Let's go Browns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.